church tonight. Good to see everybody here. No place I'd rather be this evening. Thank God for the air conditioning.
Amen.
A little bit of south. Whoa, we got some amens there. I know I'm preaching on tonight. I'm preaching on air conditioning. Amen. No, it's a blessing to have air conditioning. It is a blessing to have air conditioning.
Amen.
You know, they're little things you take for granted, but when you don't got it, you realize how hot things are. But it's a blessing to be in church tonight. A blessing to see you all. Know about you, but this fight's been on this week. You know, the fight has been on. You know, there's a lot going on in the world right now. A lot going on all over the place. I'm not just talking about the United States. I'm talking about the world. It's just a lot going on, but it's just good to be able to come to church, be with the saints of God, gather around His Word, sing unto Him, praise His name, give glory unto Him, and realize that we have eternal life. You know, we have eternal life. So if all of a sudden everything ends tomorrow, fine with me.
Amen.
I know where I'm going. Eternity with Jesus Christ, heaven. A lot better than this down here. So thank God for that. Amen. Brother Jim Bush, can you hold up a prayer, brother?
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the day, Lord, that you've given us, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for this building, Lord, that you've given us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for tonight, Lord. Lord, just give the preacher words to say, Lord, that we may hear, Lord. And Lord, that we may honor thee more, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for everything you've done, Lord. Thank you for your grace and your mercy and your salvation.
Amen.
Lord, just bless our night, Lord. Keep us safe, Lord. Keep us safe, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for everything. In Jesus' name.
Amen. If you're able to stand, you can stand. Let's take our blue hymn book. Let's go to page 72. Page number 72, Fairest Lord Jesus. Page number 72. I have is that Lord willing, tomorrow, barring any thunderstorm or rain, we're going to try to go out again there on Front Street and Pine Street and hold up some signs for an hour from 6 to 7. So if you're interested in coming out, Lord willing, if it doesn't rain, we'll try to be out there again tomorrow from 6 to 7. And I'd like to read this prayer letter real quick this evening from Brother Mark Reno. He says, "They're prayer warriors and supporters." He says, "Thank you so very much for your prayers on our behalf this past month. It was an excellent month on several fronts, and July is off to a great start. Let me give you an update." He says, "Guatemalan tracks. The first set of tracks are en route to Guatemala. We expect to hear that they had safely arrived by the end of June, but that isn't the case. We are asking you to continue to pray for their safety and passage, and that they would clear customs without delay or incident. If this carrier proves efficient, we will work towards sending more of the tracks that are currently in storage in Tennessee. Venezuelan tracks. Our first shipment of tracks to Venezuela are en route. We have sent 10,000 this time and are praying in more funds for the next shipment. With printing, shipping into Tennessee and passage to Venezuela, we are looking at nearly $1,300 for this project. If we are able to print more than the 10,000, the cost per track drops. The believer who is handling this project for us in Tennessee had some humanitarian supplies, rice, beans, flour, and sugar, donated by another ministry, that he was able to include with the tracks for the pastors who will receive the boxes. Food has been difficult to find, and this will also be a blessing to the pastors. Please pray with me that the shipment will get through, and that we can continue to send literature into this needy land. I would add on there, you pray for him, and as they send that in there to those pastors, that as those objects go through customs, nobody confiscates them." So I know when we were down in Dominican Republic and our shipments came in through customs, you were there when it came through customs, because if you didn't, they would take stuff out of your box, food, all kinds of things out of your box, and you wouldn't even know they were gone. So just pray that the rice, bean, and flowers and stuff gets through. I know even what's going on. I got a prayer letter from a missionary down in Haiti that I work with, Maurice LaPierre. I think he's stuck down there right now. They've closed down the borders. They've shut down the airport. You know, since the assassination of the president a couple days ago, everything's shut down there, and is basically being gang-run down there, especially in Port-au-Prince. They got like 70 families, he says, right now that's sleeping on a football field, and they can't get no help to them, because any help that they try to get to them, they shoot at them. A nurse in the ambulance was shot in the head because she was trying to go over there with the ambulance to provide some medical help. It's very bad down there right now. And so he's asking specific prayer for that God would just protect him, protect the Christians that are down there, because it's a mess. So keep Brother Maurice in prayer as well. Finishing on with this prayer letter, he says, "Travel, we are finished with two trips that were essentially back-to-back. We spent 7 days in Georgia and Alabama, going to two camp meetings and two churches. It's so good to see that these churches are moving forward. Then we had a trip to upstate New York for me to speak at the 50th anniversary celebration for Christian Lake Bible Conference Campground. My grandfather and dad had spoken there for quite a few years, and Dad and I were requested to be speakers for their celebration. What an honor to take my family back to a place I'd been as a child and take my family. The picture with Katie is on the bridge across the lake. The other pictures show the views of the campground and the swinging bridge. It's a beautiful facility. God has blessed me to be in some incredible places, see wonderful people, and follow in some amazing steps. I'm thankful for the spiritual heritage of my family. Please be in prayer for our family, as July is a very busy travel month. We will be gone 21 days, making stops in 5 states. God has been good to keep us safe and our vehicles running relatively trouble-free. Thank you for praying for us and supporting our ministry. We are grateful. To God be the glory for all that He has accomplished. Yours for His kingdom, Brother Mark Reno." So continue to keep him in prayer and the ministry that God has him doing this evening. All right, let's try to sing one more hymn here. If you're able to stand again, page number, I believe it's 176. See, yep, page number 176. It's kind of hard to sing this song sitting down, so we'll sing it standing up. "Christ Arose."
Victor from the dark domain, and he lives.
Prayer request this evening you'd like to bring up, Sister Erica?
I got an opportunity to meet with two women that I used to work with who are going through some hardships. One of the women, her name is Anna. Her husband has been struggling with what they thought was heart problems, but they're now thinking that it may be either MS or ALS.
Mm-hmm.
She showed me a video of him, and I can't imagine going through that. So it kind of put what Chris and Joe are looking at mm-hmm. with their son. So if you could just keep, his name is Todd.
Todd.
And Todd. I invited them to church. Well, I invited her, but it's hard for him to get out.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going for a second opinion. To see if they can get some answers, but so far they're not sure, and that's kind of the road that they're thinking it might be. And then the other woman, her name is Lisette. She went for an annual mammogram, and they found two masses on her breast that she has to go back on July 27th. For a second look and possible biopsy. So if you could just keep her in prayer.
So to those that didn't hear Erica, please keep Anna and Todd in prayer. That they'd come out of the church, and then also with him dealing with possibly with being diagnosed with ALS. And then also Lisette found two masses on her breast. So keep her in prayer. She goes back July 27th. That God would intervene in that diagnosis and what she's facing there.
Oh, one more thing. I spoke to Bree a while back. Her daughter was attacked.
Mm-hmm.
They actually went to court on, I think it was Monday, and they're taking it to trial. So they're in good hands.
Good.
Moving forward.
Mm-hmm. So keep that in prayer. Keep Bree and just the situation with going forward with the court case on that. You know, you need to be held accountable for that type of thing. And too often, especially within the system, a lot of things get swept under the rug. A lot of things get, you know, when I made a statement whenever the mayor was here, for whatever reason, I made the comment, I said that government is corrupt. Yes, government is corrupt. Now, I'm not saying anybody in this Catasauqua was corrupt, the government. I don't know. I just know that government is corrupt.
Right.
You know, when you can beat a kid in so bad that his brain swells and then you try to sweep it under the rug as if nothing happened, that's corruption in my mind. You know, you don't hide things like that, and especially within the juvenile justice system and things like that. So I'm glad they're going forward with that, because there needs to be accountability. You can't just beat the snot out of somebody and think you're going to get away with it. It's not right, especially in the school systems. So keep that in prayer. Does anybody have anything else? Sister Vaughn?
Texted with me, and he had an MRI done, and it appeared.
hears that he needs a triple bypass, the main doctor isn't going to be back until Monday, and so they aren't going to know anything until Monday, what they're going to do or when they're going to do it. And also, May texted me, Johan has been sick a couple days with a fever and coughing until he throws up, so she's not sure what's wrong with him.
Okay.
And Rachel, their youngest one, Benjamin, baby, he was up all night coughing and gagging, and she took him to the doctor, and they think it's a respiratory virus.
Okay. So keep Mike Hoover in prayer with that surgery. We were talking about, me and Ms. Donna were talking about it the other day, about how you need triple bypass surgery. And they're like, well, hang on. Just to me, you tell me I need triple bypass. I want the surgery, like, now. But the way things are today, I guess, I mean, the doctors know what they're doing, but whew. So keep Mike Hoover in prayer, Johan feeling sick, and then also Rachel's son, Benjamin, as well, being sick. Keep them in prayer. I thought I saw Sister Kathy.
Neighbor Charlie, I had a conversation with him, and he seems to understand the plan of salvation, but doesn't believe that there is a hell that people are sent to, that people just sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I just coincidentally today got a pamphlet in the mail from Perry Rockwood's Gospel Hour on Is There a Hell? And mm-hmm. read it, and it's pretty good. So I'm going to be giving that to him, and mm-hmm. I pray for his understanding. Charlie.
Okay. So keep Charlie in prayer and attract it. Sister Kathy is going to give him dealing with the doctrine of hell. Anybody else, Sister Sharon?
I just want to thank people for praying for the Bible study last Thursday with Teresa. It did go pretty well. She's probably a very new Christian, knows very little about the Bible. So she needs the Lord, His Holy Spirit needs to work in her heart to help her to understand. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Glad to see you made it back safely as well. So keep Teresa in prayer as well. Does anybody have anything else? No? All right. Well, amen. Let's continue this evening here. For sake of time, let's go continue with our study here in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Second Peter chapter 1, I'm going to try, Lord willing, and finish up this chapter this evening. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse number 19 through 21. Second Peter chapter 1, verse number 19, it says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Let's go ahead and pray again. Heavenly Father, I just thank you again for this evening, Lord. I thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, I thank you for your long suffering. And Lord, I just ask for your help now this evening. Pray lead God and direct, Lord. Pray just clear our minds, clear our hearts, dear God. Help us to receive what you would have us for, that would help us to grow closer to you. Open our eyes, open our ears, help us to listen. And dear God, hear if you speak to us tonight, Lord, that we just apply what you might have applied to our lives, dear God, to help us draw closer to you in these last days. Lord, you receive the glory and honor, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 19, just for a quick overview, in verses 16 through 18, Peter was talking about how he was taken up there to the mount, and the Lord was transfigured before him, and he saw the Lord in his glory along with Moses and Elijah were there. And then he goes into verse number 19 and says, "We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed." Now, that word prophecy can mean two things if you look up in a dictionary. A lot of people, when they think of prophecy, they think of someone foretelling a future event that's coming. And when Peter saw the Lord transfigured there, he heard the Lord talking with Moses and Elijah, and the Lord was talking to them about his decease, that it was going to be accomplished at Jerusalem. Basically, he was going to go to Jerusalem and die. Okay, that was a future event. But you think about this, prophecy is not dead. We prophesy. You don't even realize it. If you tell someone Jesus Christ is coming back someday, you're prophesying. You're foretelling a future event. Now listen, you ain't getting that out of your own mind. You're getting out of the book. And you're just saying what the book is saying, but that's a future event. That has not occurred yet. The Lord Jesus Christ has not come back and take the church home. He hasn't come back and set up his 1,000-year kingdom. Those are all future events. So when you put that forth, you're putting forth prophecy from the scripture saying these are future events that have yet to take place. And what are you basing it off? You're basing it off of what the scripture says. You're basing it off what you're telling somebody about what the scriptures say is coming. Now, I'm not making something up out of my mind, something future. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. There's a future event coming, and the Lord's coming back someday. That's saying what prophecy is saying. So here he says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Well, what's more sure word of prophecy? The word of God. The Bible. See, Peter heard what Jesus said. He heard what Moses and Elijah were talking to him about. And he said, I saw it with my eyes. I heard it with my ears. But he said, there's something even more sure than what you can see with your eyes and hear with your ears. And we looked at this in the weeks past. Is you don't look. You can't base what you believe by what you feel. Do you understand? You can't even base all of what you believe by what you see. Or even by what you hear, unless it lines up with the scriptures. I said this earlier today. Everything has to be filtered through the Bible. Amen. Okay, you're going to tell me something. I'm going to hear something, whether I'm listening to the radio, I'm watching something on television, somebody's talking to me. Everything that's coming in my ears, especially if it's religious, is still being filtered through, okay, what does the Bible say? So you can come in here tonight, listen, and I'm serious as I can be. A man can walk in here tonight and perform a miracle or do something, cause something to come out of the sky or something to happen. He's got to be telling the truth because look what he's doing. Look what he's accomplishing. Surely this has got to be from God. Take your Bible and flip over to 2 Thessalonians real quick. 2 Thessalonians and chapter number... Chapter 2, verse 7. Look at this now a second. What did Paul tell those there in Galatia? He said, even if an angel comes to you and preaches something different than what I've told you about Jesus Christ, you don't even listen to an angel if it comes and talks to you. Look what Paul tells the church there in Thessalonica. Chapter 2, verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Verse number 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Dealing with the Antichrist, the Lord coming back, his second coming. It's not talking about the rapture. It's talking about the second advent when he comes back to set up his earthly kingdom for 1,000 years. And then we go into verse 9. Even him, talking about the Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan. But look at this now. With all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Look. This man, the Antichrist, when he comes on the scene, he's going to have some power. He's going to be able to do some things that are miraculous. He's going to have signs. He's going to have wonders. He's going to be able to do great works. He's going to be doing mighty things that somebody, unless you know the scriptures, you could look at him and say, surely this man's got to be from God. Surely. What man could do these miracles and these signs and it not come from God? But look why he's doing it. Verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Look what it says next. How can these people be deceived? God gives you the answer in the next verse. Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Why are individuals going to be deceived by the Antichrist when he comes on the scene and he's able to do all these miracles? Why are they going to be deceived? Because they believed not the love of the truth. What's the truth? What keeps you from being deceived? That Bible. that Bible. Look, if you don't, look, and I'm as your preacher, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to harp on it till the day I die or I'm no longer here. Get in your Bible, stay in your Bible, read your Bible, study your Bible, pray over your Bible, meditate over your Bible. Bible, get it in you. Because the more you have this in you, and the Holy Spirit's within you, and the Holy Spirit bears witness to truth of God's words, it's going to keep you from being deceived if something comes down this pipeline and all the world goes after it and you say, well, hold on, time a second. This ain't of God. What do you mean this isn't of God? Well, because it doesn't line up with Scripture. Oh, get out of here with that Bible. I know what I saw with my eyes. Yeah, but what does the Bible say? Now, I believe you can... Look, I believe in devils. I believe in demons. I believe in Satan. I believe in angels. I believe in cherubim. I believe in seraphim. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the devil. I believe in a whole spiritual realm out there that we can't even see right now going on over top of us right now. I believe right now over Catasauqua, over Allentown, there are spiritual battles going on right now. Look, you read your Bible in Daniel, there is an angel set over Jerusalem. So a spiritual prince. Look, there's stuff going on out there that we have no clue about in the spiritual realms. And that's where our battle is at. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. How are you not deceived? By staying in the truth of God's word. Look at verse 11. So they believed not the truth that they might be saved. And look what God does to them. Verse number 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie. They didn't receive the truth that God was trying to give to them. And God says, okay, you don't want to receive the truth. I'm going to let you be deceived. God says, I'm going to send them strong delusions that they might be able to believe a lie. Now, why would God do something like that? I thought God was loving. He is loving. But God's going to give you what you want. If you don't want truth, what more can God do for you? What more can God... If God is showing you truth, if God's bearing witness to your spirit, if God's dealing with your heart and you turn your back on it, what is that showing God? But you know why people turn their back on God? He gives us the answer in verse number 12. Why does God send strong delusions? Why should they believe a lie? Verse number 12. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know why most people won't come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why most people won't come to the truth? Because they have pleasure in unrighteousness. They don't want what God... God requires holiness. That's one thing missing in churches today. Holiness. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Be ye holy as I am holy. God requires holiness. But people don't like holiness. So therefore, they'd rather go and follow after their pleasures and unrighteousness. And God says, listen, what gets me as a Christian is to see how sad that people try to look everywhere and in everything but God to try to find satisfaction and hope. I'll try alcohol, I'll try drugs, I'll try sex, I'll try a job, I'll try money, I'll try this. Anything but Jesus Christ. The only one that truly can bring satisfaction. So the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. We looked at it last week. I believe part of application can be dealing with somebody about salvation, how the Lord shows you a little bit of light. What are you going to do with the light that the Lord shows you until eventually you come to salvation in Jesus Christ? I believe this also can apply to the Lord's second coming when He appears in heaven, comes down here to set up His earthly kingdom for 1,000 years, the day star arising in your heart. I'm not going to look at all the scripture again this evening. I'm going to move on to verse number 20 where it says, knowing this first. So the sentence continues from verse 19 into verse number 20. And Peter says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Private means this, unconnected with others. So no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation. Now this is what I believe. I believe any preaching, teaching, talking that's done ought to bear witness with your spirit that is the truth. You just don't do something because a pastor says to do it. You're going to get yourself in a mess. You're going to find yourself in danger if you're basing your spirituality over what the pastor's telling you to do. You see, God requires for each one of you that are saved to have your own walk with Jesus Christ. And God should be teaching you, God should be molding you, God should be strengthening you, God should be purging and pruning you to help you in your walk with Him. Now, do you need to come to church? Absolutely. Should you be a member of a local church? Absolutely. Should a church have a pastor? Absolutely. But ultimately, someday, brethren, when God calls us home, I'm not going to be standing there holding your hand saying and giving an account for you saying, yeah, Lord, they were a good Christian. They did this. They did that. No. The same with me. I'm going to be there by myself. Me and the Lord. And I'm going to have to give an account for Chris Welton. And I believe I'll also give an account for my family and for the church. But give an account for myself. You will have to give an account for yourself before Jesus Christ someday. You can't look at Jesus someday and say, well, the preacher said this. Well, I believe this because the pastor said that. And the Lord might look at you and say, but what did I say? The Lord might look at you and say, but what did I say? So know this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Take your Bible, look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 18. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 18. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18. No prophecy, know this verse, no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. That's why it's important too that to have your Bibles with you. You come to church, have a Bible. Have a Bible open. Know your Bible. Make sure what the preacher's saying is what the Bible's saying. Right? You bounce and put everything through. What does the Bible say? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Look at verse 22. For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. For unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, look what he says in verse 5 in chapter 2, or verse 4, chapter 2, verse 4, 1 Corinthians. Look at the latter, verse 4. And my speech, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. What does your faith stand in? Your faith stands not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You know what we're missing today? We're missing the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. we're going off of more of what a man says rather than what God, what does God say? What does God say? What does the Bible say? What does God's Word say? You know, it's a concern sometime that you ought to try to apply what God gives you through the week. I don't want to just be a Sunday, Wednesday Christian. Does it make sense? That does you no good. God desires for us to be a Christian Monday through Monday, Sunday through Sunday, Saturday through Saturday, all the time. That's what God requires. But you know what that takes? It takes you having a personal walk with Jesus Christ. And we can't take a day off. You can't take a day off. See, sometimes we think, and I'll be the first one to stand in line this, we think, okay, I've got my spiritual meter up high enough to where tomorrow I can take off because my spiritual meter is high enough today. And therefore, I can kind of coast tomorrow and just draw off of that spirituality I had yesterday. That's not going to cut it. It's not going to cut it. Because if you start living in that type of mindset, the devil's watching, the devil's observing, and he realizes, and he says, okay, I see that they get what they need one day, but the next day they try to coast, and then they coast the second day, and then maybe they'll read the third day or fourth day again, and then they'll take two more days off again. The devil notices a pattern. I heard a man preaching about wolves, and he said there was one wolf out there, I forget where he was at, but he said this one wolf, what he would do is, they study the patterns of their prey in the area that they're at. And so often he said when a wolf moves into a new area, wolves move into a new area, they don't automatically go after the prey the first or second or third day they're there. They'll go in and they'll watch and they'll observe. They'll even spook deer, herds of deer. They'll spook them to watch and observe which deer are the fastest that take off, which ones are more slow, which ones run off by themselves, and they'll observe and they'll watch their prey before they make their move. And that's exactly how the devil works. You see, the devil could be setting something up for us from 2 weeks from now, and he's starting to work on us today. I believe that. I believe the devil works like you're playing a chess match. And some good chess players, they can look 5, 10, 15, 20 moves ahead of the move that they're at right now. And I think that's exactly how the devil works. He's setting pieces up here and there and just waiting for that right opportunity to get you to quit. Now look, the devil can't take you out of the race. But he can sure try hard enough to get you to take yourself out of the race. You understand? So it's important to stay in the Word of God, to stay among the brethren, to pray, to meditate upon God's Word. And as Peter talks about here, he says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Listen, if there's a preacher that comes up and he's talking about some strange doctrine, and him, maybe, and 10 other guys are the only ones that believe it, I'm going to question it. I'm going to question it. Why is it that only 10 believe this new thing you're putting forth? Because no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation. If it's truth, it ought to bear witness with my spirit that it's truth what you're saying, and it better line up with Scripture. All right? Now, the next part, verse number 21, and we'll close up with this verse. 2 Peter chapter 1, and look at verse number 21. Look what he says here. He says, for the prophecy, the prophets in the Old Testament, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. When did God prophets move? When God moved them. When did God's prophets, when did they say something? When God said, say something. Not when they felt like something should be said, But when God moved upon their hearts, God moved them by the Holy Ghost, and He says, now you need to say something. I'm afraid today there's too much of the will of man being done and not enough of what God needs being done. The will of man. Man trying to stir something and work something up rather than God getting it up, getting into it and stirring and working something up. Look, I was talking to Brother Tyrone today. I believe this as sure as I'm standing here. He could play that piano a certain way. We could get the right people in here to sing. And you can get the services moving and going, but it could all be flesh. And God, there'd be nowhere in it. Because music is a... To me, music is, I would say, one of the, if not the most powerful thing out there to influence people. Music. I asked the kids one time in a juvenile center, I asked them, I did like a little survey myself. I was just wondering what they would consider to be the thing that influences them the most. I thought they would say social media. But the majority of young men and young ladies that I asked, they said, chat, music influences me the most. Music. Think about this for a second. There's very few places you can go out and about to where you don't hear some type of music. Most people, when they get in a car, play some type of music. Very rarely does somebody get in a car. Now, I do it sometimes because I like quiet sometimes. But if you're taking a long trip, you usually have something playing to help you make it through the trip. You go into Walmart, what's playing? Music. You go into CVS, what's playing? Music. You go into a thrift shop, what's playing? Music. You go into music, 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 everywhere. Because the enemy knows there's power in music. I don't know how many times I've gone in a store and I've heard a song that I listened to when I was lost, and all of a sudden now I'm singing it, and I don't even realize it. I'm tapping my foot, I'm going like this, and you're like, whoa, time out, what am I doing? Because your flesh likes that song that you used to listen to that now you don't because it's not right. The devil knows music's powerful. You see, we don't want to do things by the will of man. We want to do things by the Holy Ghost of God. I want Jason playing the piano as the Holy Ghost leads and guides and directs him as he plays the piano. I pray for him every Sunday when he plays that God would lead and direct his fingers as he plays that piano. That he would play in holiness that would honor God because he has an influence over the services as he plays this instrument. Or anybody else that plays any type of instrument. And as the singing's being done, that it would be bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. And that we wouldn't try to stir anything up. But if God stirs it up, you let it go. If God gets in on something, you step back and you let God take over that thing. Right? But it's got to be God. It's got to be the Holy Spirit. And it's not just going to be one individual that's going to know that. I believe it'll bear witness to everyone in here that's saved that, yeah, this is God did something today. God did something today. Because you have the same spirit that I have. Do you see how it all works together and what keeps you from error? For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Number one, not by the will of man. Look at Psalm chapter 39, verse 3. Psalm 39 and verse number 3. Not by the will of man. Psalm 39 and look at verse number 3. This is David talking. Look what David says. Psalm 39 and look at verse number 1. I'm going to go into verse number 3. Put it in context. Psalm 39 verse 1, David says, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good. And my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me while I was musing. The fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end and to measure my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Take that and cross-reference that over to Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse number 9. David said, while he thought on these things, it was hot within him. It burned within him. Well, look what Jeremiah says in verse number 20 and verse number 9. Same thing. Jeremiah chapter 20 and look at verse number 9. Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah says here in verse 9, he says, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name." Jeremiah got to the point, he said, listen, he says, "I'm not speaking in names, Lord." He's talking about the Lord. He says, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name." I feel for Jeremiah. Jeremiah went through it. He got to the point, he said, listen, I ain't saying no more. He went through it, but look what he says next. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. He said, I had to speak what God put upon my heart. God moved him. Jeremiah tried to keep his mouth shut. Jeremiah tried to say, I can't do it. God says, no, you're going to go ahead and do it. Jeremiah says, I couldn't fight against it. Jeremiah says, I got to do it. I got to say it. Though I don't want to, I'm tired of it. I got to go forward and I got to say something. I heard a preacher one time say this thing to a young preacher one time. He made this statement. He said, this young man came up to him and says, I feel God's calling me to preach. What advice would you give me? He said, run from it. He said, get away from it. Do everything you can to not do it. There's some wisdom in that. Because if you're truly called of God, you can't run from it. You can't get away from it. And if you try, you're going to be one miserable individual. There was some wisdom with that preacher. He said, run from it. Don't do everything you can not to do it. It's almost like what Jeremiah is saying here. I'm not going to speak in his name. I'm not going to say his words. And then as he's even saying it, he knows, I got to say it. I got to do it. Because God is moving on my spirit. You see what it says there in 2 Peter 1:21 or 21? It says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Jeremiah said, I got to do it. The second thing is, they were holy men. I'm almost done tonight. They didn't. God's men and women, even women of the Old Testament, didn't move because their will wanted them to, because they were doing it of their own power. God was upon them and God led them and God directed them. But God also says they were holy. God requires holiness. They were holy men. They were not wicked men. They were not sinful men in the state that they lived in sin. They lived in wickedness. They lived in iniquity. They tried to be holy before God, and God used them. Number three, they were moved by the Holy Ghost of God. Take your Bible and look at 1 Chronicles real quick, verse 28. This is dealing with David. David, toward the very end of his ministry, he's getting ready to go home. 1 Chronicles chapter number 28. Look what David says here. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse number 12. He's talking, he's getting ready to put Solomon's getting ready to take his place. But look what David says to Solomon and all the people in verse number 12 of chapter 28, 1 Chronicles. He says, in the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord and of all the chambers round about of the treasuries of the house and of the treasuries of the dedicated things. I'm not going to read on through it. But God gave David how this thing should be built. And then David gave it to Solomon. Because look at verse number 19. And this said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me even all the works of this pattern. Goes right along with 2 Peter 1:21 says that the holy men of God of old, they weren't moved by their own wills, but were moved by the Holy Ghost of God. And here David says, listen, David says, the Lord made me understanding writing by his hand upon me even all the works of this pattern. David just didn't design God's temple of how he thought it should be set up. God gave him the pattern, God gave him the direction, and David then passed it on to Solomon how it should be done. How are we supposed to live our lives? Right here. I believe this book contains all the principles we need on how we need to live our life. How we need to conduct ourselves. How to have successful marriages. How to be able to raise children. How to be a good Christian. How to draw close to God. How to be a good testimony. It's all found in this book. This is our instruction manual that God has given to us, and He expects us to apply it. Lastly, look at Acts chapter 1 and verse number 16. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Look at Acts chapter 1 and verse number 16. Look at verse 15, Peter talking. Acts chapter 1, verse 15. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said the number of names together were about 120. Look what Peter says in verse 16. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. You can cross-reference that right over to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. There's an example of the Holy Ghost moving upon David and giving a prophecy concerning Judas and what would occur in that time frame. Look over at Acts chapter 3, verse 18. Here's another example. The Holy Ghost moving upon the prophets of old. Acts chapter 3, verse 18. But those things which God before showed by the mouth of all His prophets that Christ should suffer, He hath so fulfilled. They were led, they were directed by the precious Holy Spirit of God. And lastly, Acts 28, verse 25. Acts 28 and verse 25. Acts chapter 28 and look at verse number 25. Look what it says here, last part of Acts chapter 28, verse 25. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by who? By Isaiah, the prophet unto our fathers. Isaiah spoke unto the fathers in old time by what power? By the power and leading and unction of the Holy Ghost of God. Second Peter 1, verse 19 through 21 says this: We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now I'm not going to look at it tonight. I might look at it next week. But if you look at a story there, 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verses 1 through 26, you find a story of Jehoshaphat and Ahab. All right? Now, I remember when Jehoshaphat came up there to Ahab, because Ahab says, listen, why don't you, we're brothers. Ahab was a wicked king. He was wicked. He was one of the most wicked kings that Israel ever had in the northern kingdom. Wicked. Now this is a Jew. Ahab, wicked king. Jehoshaphat was a pretty good king down there in Judah. And for whatever reason, Jehoshaphat, he's a good man. But for whatever reason, he kept wanting to hang around Ahab. So one time he goes up there and Ahab says, listen, we're brothers. We're the same. Why don't you come up and fight with me? Now Ahab was a little weasel. I wouldn't trust Ahab as far as you throw him. And Ahab had ulterior motives in this thing. Because if you remember the story, he tells Jehoshaphat, now listen, I'm going to dress like one of the soldiers. I'm paraphrasing now. I'm going to dress like one of the soldiers. You keep your kingly attire on and go on up in there. And what's Jehoshaphat? Jehoshaphat's like, oh yeah, that sounds good. I'll wear my kingly. I was like, hello, Jehoshaphat. They're going to try to shoot at you first. Take out the king and you got the battle. Jehoshaphat, he was just innocent. I don't know what was wrong. I knew he loved, Jehoshaphat was a good man, but he was just a little naive. He's like, yeah, I'll put on the kingly. Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. But before they went up to battle, Ahab says, we'll go up and fight. And Jehoshaphat's like, well, hang on, time out. Do you have any men here, any prophets that can kind of give us direction? Like, should we go do this fight? Ahab's like, yeah, I got a bunch of them. Bring them up here. And they all prophesied, yeah, the Lord's in this thing. Go up there and battle. God's going to give you the victory. Blah, 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 blah. Hundreds of prophets telling us. And Jehoshaphat's like, no, this don't bear witness with my spirit. Is it not one man? Is there not any other prophet? And Ahab's like, yeah, there is, but I hate him because he always prophesies evil against me. Nevertheless, we'll bring him up. Yeah, because he'll tell you the truth. And I think his name was Micaiah. Coming up in there, and Jehoshaphat's like, you see, God's given him, look, even there in the Old Testament, those men that tried to walk with God, they could even tell, something's not right here. Yeah, you got 400 men that are saying the right things, they're saying it's coming from God, but it still just doesn't bear witness with my spirit. Is there not just at least one more man? And Ahab's like, yeah, there's one more, but I can't stand it. Because he tells me the truth. Look, you read the Bible, and then you let God work upon your spirit, you let God work in your life. And I believe the more time you spend time in this book, the less opportunity there is for you to be deceived, tricked, and taken over by the enemy. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to thy word. This book's important, and the devil knows it. And that's why he does everything to try to keep you out of it. He tries to change it. He tries to destroy it. He tries to get rid of it. Why? Because there's power in God's word to help you in your spiritual walk, and he knows that. He'd like nothing better than take you out, or for you just to quit altogether. Don't quit. Don't be weary in well-doing. Let God bear witness with your spirit to what is truth. For any man or anybody that might talk to you at any position, in any place, let it all be filtered through the Word of God, because no prophecy of the Scriptures is any private interpretation. It ought to bear witness with your spirit that it's coming from God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening, Lord. I thank you for these precious brethren. Lord, I pray these things made sense, dear God. Lord, if I caused any confusion, Lord, I pray you'd clear it up. Lord, but one thing I do know, Lord, I'm not very smart. One thing I do know, Lord, that we need your word. And Lord, we need to be immersed in it. We need to meditate upon it. We need to hide it in our hearts. Lord God, help us just to stay faithful to you, Lord. Help us to filter everything we hear, everything that's taught, through the filter of your word. Lord, help us just to go forward. Lord, to fight the good fight of faith. Help us not to quit. Help us to stay faithful to you to the very end. That, Lord, someday we might hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, help us to be a witness. Help us to be a light. And Lord, through it all, you would receive the glory, honor, and praise all to you, Lord. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you choose to stay this evening, we're going to spend some time in here in prayer individually. Pray for our country. Again, pray for the situation of our country. Pray for some of these prayer requests that are brought up. Keep Brother Mike Hoover in prayer with that heart condition there. That things would just be all right with him until he can get in there and do that surgery. Pray for the prayer request that Erica brought up with those individuals that they might come out to church, and for Bree and her court case and what she's dealing with, and Brother Joe and Sister Chris and just situation with their son Derek, Brother Les and Sister Nancy. Continue to keep them in prayer. Brother Reddy over there in India, the rest of our missionaries, Brother Mark Reno and those tracks trying to get down there to Venezuela, to Guatemala. Pray for the brethren in those countries. There's Christians in Guatemala. There's Christians in Venezuela. There's Christians in Haiti, Dominican Republic. Christians in Pakistan. Keep these Christians around the world in prayer that they continue to stay faithful to the Lord and continue to the day that God calls them home. So let's take some time. If you choose to stay, we'll go to prayer here and just ask if you're done praying, just to move off to the side. If you want to talk, just go outside or off down the hallway here or somewhere, just to honor or respect those that are still praying and try to get a hold of God and take some of these prayer requests before the throne. Amen. If I don't see you and you leave, Lord willing, see you Sunday, and love and appreciate every one of you. So, amen.